Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, this is Big Bad Brian DeTillo on Star Dish Radio, giving up the dish and claiming myself as one heck of a star.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassey, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Star Dish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Star Dish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today's Monday, May 17, 2010. Welcome back, everyone. Just coming back off of a small hiatus, some technical issues, and anything else Murphy's Law can throw at me. So I appreciate you guys coming on back. My guest tonight is a doubleheader, mind you, but my first guest, Hal B. Klein. He was originally one of my first guests on Star Dish Radio when I first started this 2 years ago. So he's got some new things in the works, and we're going to talk to him right now. Mr. Hal B. Klein, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. You've been a busy, busy fellow these last couple of years. For those who are a little unfamiliar and been living under a rock for a while, give us a little bit of your background.
Well, my background is that I grew up in New York, and I was a theater kid. I did a lot of theater and went to drama school in London and moved to Los Angeles a few years ago and started working in the movies. And I've been lucky enough to work in some really fantastic films, like a movie called Bottle Shock and Killer Movie. And in the last couple of years, I've also been doing a lot of stuff with food and working to get people to eat better in their houses.
Wonderful. I was going through your website, which is www.thismanskitchen.com. Tell me the concept about this.
So
it's
my
pretty
whole
funny.
Thanks. You know, I think a lot of people get really intimidated by food and cooking, especially if it's something that they haven't done a lot of before.
Right.
And so I want to show people that it's not, you know, just this very serious thing that's all precise and you have to measure things exactly. And it's something that's fun and something that everyone can do. And if you just break it down step by step, even though something like maybe a beef stew seems like it would be very difficult to do, it's actually, when you just look at the pieces, a lot easier than you think it is.
It is, actually. What is one of the most favorite things of yours, I should say, to cook?
Oh, there's so many. It's such a hard question to answer because I love food so much. one of the things we actually just did, we made a video of, is something called minty glazed carrots.
Okay.
I hated vegetables growing up, and I've come to realize now, because I love vegetables, that the whole reason I hated them was because I just didn't like the way they're being prepared. And so I created this dish that's really simple. It's just carrots and a little bit of butter, or olive oil, honey, and fresh mint.
Oh.
And it's really great. It's really fantastic, and it makes people want to eat healthy vegetables again.
Right. Okay. I see that on here. I'm going to have to check that out. Maybe that'll get my kids to eat some vegetables.
Yeah, you should try it. You should try it.
Okay. I will, definitely. Talk to me about what you've been doing with Lily's Light. I found this little screener very entertaining. Talk to me about how this came about. I know May is National Foster Care Month, so tell me about your passion behind this project.
I'm so excited about this project. It's great. Lily's Light is a children's TV show that was created by someone named Sherry Hersey, who's just a wonderful, amazing, creative, dynamic woman. Who feels really passionately about foster care because it's, you know, so many kids in America grew up in the foster system. And when we think of adoption and bringing kids in, you usually think of bringing in babies. That's what people obviously want to do because they want to raise them. But there's so many kids that are 10, 11, even up to 18 that live their lives in foster homes. And then by the time they turn 18, they're just, that's it, you know, good luck, off to the world with you.
Yeah.
So So even though the show isn't specifically about foster children in themselves, it's, like I said, it's live action, which is really rare. If you watch most kids' TV shows these days, they're all animated, and this is all real people in it. And
exactly.
It's set in this magical lighthouse, and the lighthouse is a foster home. And so the kids, you see these kids learning and growing, and in the pilot, which is going to be airing all around the country on PBS stations, starting now and through August, you learn the lesson of this boy, Daniel, who's lost his grandmother. His grandmother's died, who was raising him, and it's just him alone with his pet pig, Oink, who's his best friend. And Daniel's really sad about this, but he doesn't know how to express his feelings. And so he thinks he's all alone in the world. And then, because the lighthouse is magical, you go to this fantasy segment, which is called Hamelot, and it's a pig version of Camelot.
Yes.
And it turns out that Oink, his pet pig, is having the exact same problem there and feels all alone. And we get him to talk about his problem through songs and dance and everything exciting. And it teaches Daniel, once he opens up, he finds that there are these world of people that are willing to take him in and help raise him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's great. It's, you know, it has this really terrifically powerful, positive message, but it's not at all preachy. It's really entertaining. You'll hear the songs on the show, and they'll be in your head for a week. They're in my head
right
now.
Right. That's what I really like about it. It's not animated, number one. I like that. And I have to say, it's been quite some time since you've seen a show like that, live musical and without it being animated. And I think that kind of attracts the kids a little bit more than the animation does, you know, especially the older kids. I actually had my 9-year-old watch some of it with me before he went to bed, and he really liked it, because sometimes you think, sometimes animation can, I think, are made to kind of dumb down a kid in some aspects, but when they see kids real, just like them, you know, I think it becomes more realistic to them that these things actually happen.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I think that, I mean, animation, you know, it has its place. It's great. You can do things in animation that you obviously couldn't do with real people. But I think when you come to relating to people, if someone sees a purple cartoon flying or whatever, it's very nice entertainment. It's great if you're busy and just say, you know, watch this, be entertained. But it's not going to have any educational component. It's not going to enhance a kid's life. And if you have live people and you watch them and, you know, people are going to be able to watch this show and say, oh, my God, I relate to this person. I relate to this person because they're real. You see them, they're real. They're living lives. And it's much more exciting. It's much more interesting. I find it much more interesting, too.
I think so, too. I definitely do. I think you've got a nice little thing there, and I definitely recommended it to my neighbors with the smaller children, and I think it's a really cute idea, and you did a fabulous job with it.
Oh, thanks. Well, most of the credit's got to go to Sherry. I mean, she created it, and we have this fabulous team of songwriters that all the music in it is original, too, which is exciting. And so just the whole staff and behind it. And then the set is something that we're really proud of, too. It's designed by this animator named William Stout, who I would recommend everyone to just go look up his work. He's really famous for animating dinosaurs and things like that, and his vision and design. And it was amazing because he drew what he envisioned the lighthouse to look like. And then when we came to the set, it looked exactly like the draw. It was so amazing. It's so colorful and whimsical and just really fantastic. So the creative team all around just did such a great job with it.
It came across also on the television. It's not one of those dime store looking sets. You know, it's very, very creative and very imaginative. I love the boats and beds. I mean, just the way this is, I thought that was amazing. It was really, really cool. So, you produced,
I it
especially didn't
clever.
You?
I'm working as an associate producer on it now. I didn't produce it when we actually shot it, but since then, as we've been trying to, as the journey of trying to get it on board and get everyone in the country to see it, I've just felt so passionately about the whole project that I asked the creative team, said, you know, what can I do to help? Can I be involved? And so I've been doing a lot of just research with different PBS stations and different foster organizations and trying to work and be a liaison and get everything together.
And
exciting. It's a big learning lesson to do that.
Sure. It's all about taking in every experience that you can get. And you've been doing that since you've been out in California. So
yeah,
this is
absolutely
just another one of those things that you got under your belt.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so
between that and producing the cooking show, it's been such a cool experience. It's been great learning all the intricacies of the business and learning it from a totally different side than the creative side.
Right, right. So it's definitely a life experience for your career that you can take with you everywhere, and that's pretty cool. Hands-on experience is always the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, and everybody, thismanskitchen.com, you guys need to check that out. It's a great website. I really enjoy it. I recommended it to a few male friends of mine. I love this thing here. I have to bring this up. Talk to me about this curing of the bacon. What made you decide to cure bacon?
So it's
so
a little different
random
than the general mission of the show, which is to show people simple things. But even something like this, you know, it's actually kind of a good example in a way. So I love bacon. I just think it's the greatest food. And I've been curious about this for a long time. You know, how can I do this by myself? Is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go to the store and do this. And this new butcher opened up down the street from me, which I thought was so exciting because, you know, we have gone to a society where everyone just gets their food in these mega supermarkets and it's all shrink-wrapped and you don't know where it comes from.
Right.
And to have a new butcher that focuses on sustainable meats and they know exactly the people that they get their products from. And so I wanted to support them and support their business and also to support my own curiosity. And so I got an uncured pork belly from them, and it's a pretty easy thing to do. It takes a lot of stupid patience.
Right.
To cure your own bacon. It's got to sit in celery juice for a couple of days, and then you make a spice mix, and it sits in the fridge, and you just flip it over. So you're not really doing much, but you got to wait. And then spends a couple hours. I have a little smoker in my backyard, and just over low coals, just smoked it over low coals, and just my whole neighborhood smelled amazing. Everyone was smiling all day. and then you just come in, and honestly, the hardest part about the entire thing was slicing it to look like bacon, because I don't nobody has a meat slicer in their house. I don't.
Yeah, right.
But once I did that, and then I just cooked it like you would normally cook bacon, and it was so delicious and so satisfying to be able to take something from the beginning and do that.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. You know, I wouldn't expect everyone to do that, especially all the time. It'll probably be a while before I do it again, but it's kind of a fun thing to do. And it just goes to show that, you know, this is coming from me, a guy who a few years ago was a novice in the kitchen, and the more you do it, you know, eventually you're going to start doing something like making a baked ziti or the carrots, and then the more curious you get, you know, one day you might wake up and say, man, I really want to cure my own bacon. I wonder how to do that. But you don't have to think about it too much because it's on my site, so you can just follow the instructions now.
Next is, let's pickle some cucumbers, make some pickles to go with that bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon
it's
makes
possible.
Everything better.
Yeah, bacon does make everything better. I tried to make yogurt from scratch once, too, and that did not work out as great.
Oh, God.
But, you
That's
know, sometimes
cool.
the worst thing that happens is you try it, it doesn't work, and you go, oh, well.
Exactly. You know what?
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of trying things like that, and especially if it's something that you love, like food. You just go. You know, big deal if you make a mistake. Start all over.
Yeah. It's
That's
absolutely
the best thing
it's
about
the thing that people ask me the most is what's the one thing that I need to learn? What's the one thing I need to have in my kitchen? And I say courage.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fail. You might just order pizza. If the first time you're browning meat, don't be afraid that there's smoke coming from there. That's supposed to happen. Just have courage and keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, do you watch any of these shows, or have you ever thought about auditioning for any of these shows? Like on Bravo or on the Food Network, you know, you got Next Food Network Star or Top Chef, that kind of thing. Do you ever think about something like that?
Yeah, I love those shows. I think they're great. Top Chef is one of my favorite shows in the world, and the stuff that they make on there and the work that they do is phenomenal. For me, because these shows are generally geared towards restaurant chefs, I would love to go on there, and I would feel like I would put my food up against just about anyone on any of those shows, maybe some of the guys on Top Chef, you know, they're in a whole different playing field. But, you know, the challenge of cooking in a restaurant kitchen and the challenge of cooking in your home kitchen are very different. And so for me, which is one of the reasons why I'm actually doing my show, is I feel that sometimes people think, oh, well, yeah, you're Bobby Flay. Like, of course you can do that.
Right, right,
you're
right.
You cook in a restaurant and you're doing all these crazy things and you have these machines and this and that. And I'm saying, like, I'm not Bobby Flay. You're not Bobby Flay. You don't have to cook 32 different dishes the exact same way every single night, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All you have to do is cook one dish for two people or four people.
Oh, no, that makes total sense. I look at some of these shows, though, that don't necessarily focus around professional chefs. You know, Guy Fieri has that show. And look at where he came from. Not for nothing. He wasn't a professional chef either.
No, he was. He owned a restaurant up in Napa.
He did? I didn't realize that.
And I think a catering company. Yeah, no, he's a restaurant chef.
Yeah, I knew
chef.
About the catering company, but that's a little different than being a professional chef. But nonetheless, the next Food Network star made him exactly that, the next Food Network star.
And he's terrific, and it's amazing. Now he's hosting a game show.
I know. Isn't that funny?
It's fantastic.
That is pretty funny, though. It's a pretty funny show and to see him do it, too. So, look, anything can happen from these kind of things. So, you know, don't hedge your bets on just one thing. And I love that you're dipping your feet into a bunch of different backgrounds, the acting, the producing, and the cooking show. I mean, if you could bunch it all up into one thing or separate it, which would be your most favorite thing to do?
It's such a hard thing to say. I love all of them. And I think the wonderful thing about working in the entertainment industry is that you have the opportunity to do all these different things. And, you know, people always say, like, oh, they'll pigeonhole you and this and that, but I don't really find that's true at all.
Right.
I grew up an actor. I love acting, but my passion for food is just as strong. And so, you know, hopefully for me the idea is to be able to do everything, you know, creative and exciting. And if one thing happens to take off, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully people are going to react to Lily's Light when they watch it on the public broadcasting stations near them, and they're going to say, you know, we want to see more of this show. We want the show to be a series, which is what we're aiming for. We have episodes ready to go. And, you know, if that happens, that would be the greatest thing in the world. I'd be so happy about that. And if the Food Network comes calling and says, we love your passion for food, we want you to have a show, I'd be just as happy doing that, you know?
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, it's difficult to separate the dream, but you got to follow the one that takes the lead, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then just concentrate on the other one, leave it on the back burner for a little bit, and that'll come through also. You're a multi-talented guy, and, you know, I couldn't be more proud to say that you were one of my first guests on the show and to see how far you came. So that's pretty damn cool, Hal B. Klein.
Thank you so much.
I'm serious. So what do we got coming down the pike besides the cooking show and Lily's Light? Anything happening
with
the films?
Those are the big projects right now. I did a movie called Stuck in New York a little while ago that they are just about finished editing it, which is very exciting. It's a really low-budget independent film, and it was just such a pleasure to work on because it was shot in Queens, New York, where I was born, even though I lived there until I was three.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandparents, you know, my dad grew up in Queens. My grandparents lived in Queens. I still have my cousin Stacy still lives in Queens. My aunt and uncle live there.
Right.
And it was just so cool to just be in Queens and work on a movie with a bunch of guys from Queens. And they, it's a really cool psychological thriller about these four guys that get trapped in an elevator together.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey they go through and the psychosis, that it turns out that they all have past histories that intertwine. And it was really fun for me, because I tend to play a lot of comic characters, which is what I love doing, and I'm, you know, pretty good at it. And in this, I play a police officer that becomes totally unhinged.
Oh.
In a drama.
Okay.
And on top of that, I had a really awesome mustache. So that was nice too.
Oh gosh.
It was great.
I can't wait. Now it's in the final stages of editing, so I'm sure we'll be seeing that hopefully pretty soon.
Hopefully a festival near you sometime soon.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see that, you as a crazed, off-hinged person.
Let me
ask you a question, though. How did you go back to Queens? Because you did change your accent. How do you go back to Queens and fall back into it? Do you fall back into the New York?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I lived in New York till I was 14. If you watched Bump on this
video,
you would, you would hear a nice Jewish boy with a very thick New York accent. So, you know, it didn't take, it took a little bit of concentration and focus the first couple of days, but it's really strange with accents that, or dialects, if you have that inside of you, if you grow up with it, even though, you know, I never set out to purposely sound like, you know, now I sound like I've lived in California all my life.
Right.
But, you know, the first part of my life was definitely in New York, and that accent is inside of me, and it was ready to come back out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait till that comes. It's hard for me to fathom how you guys do that. I really give you a lot of props because I can't ever take, even if I tried, I think I sound so strange if I try not to talk like I'm from New York. It's like, why are you talking like that? Just talk normal.
You're from New York.
They're like, real. I can't help it. That's just it. You know, if you wanted me to play a part that wasn't from New York, I couldn't do it. So I definitely give you guys big props for that. It takes a lot of discipline to keep that going. So
it definitely takes a lot of work, and it always surprises me when you watch a movie or see a TV show and you think someone is from a certain place, and then you see an interview with them later, and you just realize, oh, holy cow, you're from Australia.
Well, yeah. I mean, that goes for any accent, because, I mean, really, you look at these actors who are born with, you know, who have the Australian accents or the British accents that come over and do these movies, and you never know, you know, where they're from. You think they're American just by their voice, and then you see an interview with them, and you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You know, it's great, and you see that, and it's just the work and the discipline that people put into it is just really phenomenal.
Well, Mr. Halvey Klein, I can't tell you that I'm so happy we were able to connect this time, and I don't have my live radio server errors issues. And, oh, gosh, if you only knew.
Computers these days.
My last name should be Murphy. It really should be. I would be better off with Murphy than Kubicek, I tell you. But
there you go. You guys...
You're out there, definitely check out thismanskitchen.com. And go to pbs.com also and check the local listings for the airings of Lily's Light in your area.
And you can go to lilieslight.com also.
Oh, okay, perfect. Lilieslight.com. It's a great little story. And, you know, if you're into the lightheartedness of children and just everything around it, it does kind of take you back. And it's a great little story. It's not just for kids. It can definitely teach everybody a message. So
yeah, I think everyone
check
would
out
love this
how.
Show.
Yeah, no, I did. So I mean, and I think everybody else will also. So make sure you guys check out Hal. And do you have a personal website up yet? Twitter.
I do. HalbyKlein.com.
There you go, HalbyKlein.com, and check him out on there. And are we doing Twitter yet?
Occasionally. I am on Twitter at This Man's Kitchen. I try
oh,
to
okay.
Twitter, but
yes,
I do my
okay,
best.
That's on there.
My
so
best.
Follow him on This Man's Kitchen, and definitely stay in touch with us, and let us know how things are progressing for you. And of course, I wish you nothing but the best. So from there, I guess there we go, everybody. Halvey Klein, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime, Hal. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. You too. Coming up next will be Vanessa Gomez. She'll be joining us in just a minute, so we're going to take a little break. Hang on, and we'll be back.
Losing track of time. and my religion. Pull myself away, hard like a statue. Your caress and touch is heaven's prison. And love is late nights and early morning, dying within a lover's arms and watching babies born. And love is jealousy and insecurity. Love is him and her. Love is you and me. Words may hardly speak. We grow old today, knowing what is wrong when knowing not to see. Ignore, ignore the fall. Lover's arms and watching babies born. And love is jealousy and insecurity. Love is him and her. Love is you and me.
Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for letting us take that short little break. We are moving on to the second guest of the night. This young lady is happening in Hollywood, is all I can say. Please welcome to Stardish Radio for the very first time the lovely actress Vanessa Gomez. How are you, Vanessa?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anytime. So, Vanessa, give us a little bit of background about you. Where are you from and how you got into acting?
Sure. Well, I'm from San Diego, so I'm a California girl. And I actually started acting because my mom put me in a summer camp at a theater program down in San Diego, and I just was exposed to it for the first time and just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so after that, I did some plays and stuff in school, and I actually commuted to L.A. for years that I was going to school down in San Diego. And then, you know, I kind of got caught up in high school and cheerleading, and that seemed a little bit more, you know, important at the time. And then I actually graduated high school. I went to college for a little bit and then decided that I needed to come up and make the official move. And then that was about maybe 5 years ago.
Wow. I love when hearing these stories, when you guys just get it in your head and you're done. And it's like, that's it, I'm going, come hell or high water, it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you really love something and, you know, following your dreams is so, so important. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it now, and I don't want to waste one more day.
That's it. I mean, you can't really. What kind of jobs have you been taking in the meantime while your acting career has been getting off? We hear all these funny stories, waiting tables and hostessing. That kind of, anything odd?
Nothing too much odd, but I do work in nightclubs here in Hollywood, which is so funny that you brought that up because I'm actually developing a series that talks about these four girls and their struggle to make it, and sort of the backdrop of that is us all working in the nightclub scene. So we're sort of exposing what happens in the nightclubs, right, and then also the struggle during the day and how similar the two things can really be.
Right, that's fabulous. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's an original series that we're developing. It's called Lost Angels, which I think is really appropriate. And yeah, it's just, you know, anyone who's ever struggled for anything, anyone who's ever had a dream that they're really pursuing or trying to be, it's, I mean, our logline is, what is the price of your dream? And everyone has a price, and what you're willing to do in order to make that, what you're willing to sacrifice, or, you know, if you're willing to wait tables or, you know, sling smoothies or whatever it is that you have to do, because ultimately every dream has a price, and, you know, how bad do you want it, and all those things. So it's a really great show.
Well, that would be awesome to say, because I don't think anybody has really told a story like that coming from up in the trenches and into where they want to get to. So I think that'll be fabulous to see. Talk to me about Come Together. This is you originally made this movie, what, in 2008? And it's just coming out now in June? I don't think people realize the concept of time, you know, when you guys really make these movies. They could be 5 years ago that you made it, but it's just making it to where it needs to be, you know? So that's pretty amazing.
Yes, I actually did book this movie years ago and film it years ago. And it is so funny because as an actress, you know, you book a film and you work on it for, you know, a couple months or whatever. And then it's really out of your hands, you know, whether it's actually being seen or if it's picked up or if it's sold. Then you just, of course, you cross your fingers and hope that it's going to become a success. But it's sort of, you know, not in your control at that point. But we are very fortunate that we did get distribution. It is coming out on DVD. They actually pushed the date. It was supposed to come out in June, but I think they're going to push it to early July and tie in with the whole 4th of July and American flag kind of you know, comedy. Absolutely. So I'm really excited for it. It's the first big major film that I did. I really only did a few small short films and student projects. This was my first legitimate starring role in a feature film, so it was a great learning experience, and it was so fun. I mean, it's like a Breakfast Club meets American Pie. It's a bunch of, you know, college kids that are stuck in this Hollywood Hills home, and it's over 24 hours of time. It's during the 1992 LA riots, actually. So you have this drama and chaos happening just below, and then these, you know, seven ethnically diverse sort of college kids getting crazy and having their own chaos and turmoil and everything in this home. So it's really fun.
Wow. Now, for anybody that wants to see the trailer, you guys can definitely check out the trailer. I have the website that I will give you. Where are we? It's cometogetherfilm.com, and it gives everything that Vanessa just stated about it. And but what I didn't realize is that this is based on a true story.
It is. It actually is based on true events. The director, whose name is Charlie Unger, he wrote it and directed it and edited a bit, and it actually happened to him, certain events in the film that actually, you know, got him to want to create it. And it was just so much fun. I can't tell you. It was a party on set all day. I was in a bikini for half of the filming, so you can imagine it was just, you know, showing up to work and having to, you know, put on a bikini, and the spray tan was fun. And, you know, it was just a really good time, and I'm so thankful to Charlie for giving me, you know, sort of my first shot. This is really my first big break that he was able to give to me, so.
Well, it looks amazing, and just reading the description of it, it's definitely going to be one of those summertime movies, college kids out of school, and they're all going to get together. This is going to be this generation's, like you said, Breakfast Club. You can definitely see that. You know, definitely see that. As an up-and-coming actress now, who do you aspire to work with in the coming years as your career develops?
Oh, gosh, the list is endless. I mean, I have what's called my wish list of directors and other actors and things. I mean, top of my director's list, I think, has to be Christopher Nolan. He's amazing what he's done with, you know, obviously The Dark Knight, and I can't wait for his new film, Inception, to come out. I loved his style even in Memento. You know, I thought he was amazing. So that, obviously, he would be at the top of my list. I also love Michael Christopher, and Ridley Scott, I think, is amazing. So, you know, I have those people. And then also just other actors. I mean, I would love to get the chance to work with anybody from Johnny Depp. Of course, I think every girl has him at the top of her list, right? That's a little giveaway.
I accosted him this weekend in the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Oh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to work with him, but you know, even Denzel Washington, I think, is an amazing actor. Clive Owen, you know, the list goes on and on. So.
Yeah. No, and you've got a long career ahead of you. Tell me about this new thriller that you just wrapped on, Vamps.
Oh, Vamps. Vamps is actually, I own my own production company. It's called Wicked Wolf Films, and it's our first production. So for the first time, I got to, you know, I'm also starring in it, but I got to also put on the producer hat, and I found out just how difficult it is to sort of juggle both of them. You know, I'm showing up on set, and not only do I have to be, you know, off book and knowing my lines and my character and what's going on with the scene, but I'm also worried about where Craft Services is and, you know, where's my cream for my coffees and are my other actors going to be on set on time and where's my first AD? And so it was very difficult, I have to admit, in the beginning, but I think I found a good balance and I learned so much in the process. And the feature is really, it's really fun. It's about vampires, and I know right now everyone, you know, it's such a cliche, everything's vampire right now, but it's funny. It's a thriller, but it's also really a comedy, and I think that's what's going to set us apart from the others. You know, we don't really take it that seriously. It's about a bunch of female vampires, these quote-unquote vamps, and they go out and they sort of, you know, lure these guys who just think they're going to, you know, have a good time, and they get hypnotized by our quote-unquote farmer. And he's sort of like our head vampire. And then we farm their blood, and we sell that blood to other vampires. So the film is really about these two guys that sort of stumble upon our family of vamps. And through really no effort of their own, kind of manage to get away from us, you know, in just really funny ways. And it's just, it's so great to be able to take something that should be really scary and creepy and icky and is at times, but put some comedy in it so it's really lighthearted.
Right. Well, that's it. You know what? I think that that's important right now because there is such an overwhelming presence of vampire shows and movies that there has to be a difference between them in order for them to just all be able to make it. You know, I mean, Twilight is definitely different than True Blood. True Blood is definitely different than The Vampire Diaries. So they all have their own little niche that kind of sets them apart from each other. And the comedy aspect will be your little separation from the rest of them, you know? So I think that's pretty great. When can we see this?
Well, we're in post-production now. We are doing quite a bit with CG in this, just our harvest room. We're doing a lot of special effects. All of our fangs, we wanted to do special effects. We didn't want to wear any sort of prosthetics or anything on set. To sort of keep it real so you can see it actually grow and things. So hopefully, I'm hoping that this fall it should come out, that we should be able to get everything together with the score and everything, but I will definitely keep you posted as soon as we have an actual set release date.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. Now, what else is coming down the line for you besides these couple of projects that we spoke about?
Well, I have a really full plate, to be honest. Other than being in post-production in Vamps and developing Los Angeles, which is actually my priority right now, we have it in some really good hands, so I'm really excited, keep fingers crossed. I'm also writing the first illustrated actor's resource manual, and it's called Break Down This Town, Actor's Bible for Survival, and it literally is that. It's a resource book about everything that you need to know when you come to LA and you really don't know where to go, you really don't know where to get started or what's even out there available for you. You pick this book up and I take it down one section at a time. I talk about IMDb. I talk about breaking down the breakdowns. I talk about casting director workshops and photo labs and headshots and getting organized and mailings and meetings and just everything. I really try to encompass everything that I wish someone had told me 5 years ago when I came into this town, what I had available, what I could do, what was in my power. There's so many things that are not in your power in this town, but there are a few things that completely are, and you need to know what those are, and you need to be prepared so that when you do meet that opportunity or you do get that, you know, option to meet someone or get in front of somebody, that you are 100% on point, prepared, and ready to make it the most that you can.
Nice little how-to guide for beginners. I love it.
Right, and even for people who have been here a long time. I mean, I can't tell you how many friends of mine, you know, read my book and like, wow, I didn't even know we had that. I didn't even know they offered a workshop for that. I didn't even know there was this resource out there, you know, because there's so much out there. There's no way for you to just know everything. So It's really great, even for people who have been here for a while.
Yeah, it's a definitely great tool guide. There's so many people that look for different, you know, resources and can't find stuff or whatever, so that's good that you have the presence of mind and the knowledge to, you know, from your own experience to get it in there for the other actors that are struggling to make it through with all of their sanity intact.
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge.
Well, Vanessa, I can't tell you how fabulous it has been that you've been nice enough to hang out with me for a little while tonight. Definitely keep me posted on what's going on. I can't wait to see this movie come together. Trailer, everyone, go to the website that I posted. I can't say it right. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. ComeTogetherFilm.com and check out the trailer and keep an eye out for the release dates. And you can actually, Vanessa has her own site, VanessaGomez.com, so you can check out her site as well. Now, are you on Facebook, Twitter, any of that where people can follow you?
I am. I'm on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all of that. If they go to VanessaGomez.com and they click on the Contact Me page, I have links to all of those accounts, so it's a really easy one click away, able to keep up with me and what I have going on.
Perfect. Wonderful. You will be in my Follow Fridays this week, girl.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much for stopping by. Everyone, please give a warm thank you to the lovely Vanessa Gomez and support the girl. She's talented. We need that in this lifetime right now.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. Vanessa, have a wonderful week and good luck. Best of luck to you and everything that you do. And definitely keep me apprised of what's going on.
Absolutely, Juwan. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate
Anytime,
it.
Anytime, Vanessa. All right, everyone. Stardish Radio is signing off for the night. Come back tomorrow. Colin Michael Day will be with me at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And some pretty big self-stars coming down the pike. Michael Lowry, Matt Walton, and a few others. So definitely keep your ears open and your eyes glued to Twitter and Facebook for the most current updates. Everyone have a wonderful night.
Hey, everybody, this is Bob Guinea, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio. Let's dish, baby!
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Star Dish Radio.